All right. Hey, guys, and welcome back to Dress Up Disasters. I'm Allie Cass, and I'm here with...
Circuit.
And today we're going to be talking about hotels and roommates. But before we get into that, we've got some announcements. This weekend, we'll be attending KomoriCon in Portland, Oregon, and we will be hosting two panels, both on Friday. The first is Cosplay Horror Stories, and that will be at 11:30 a.m.
Wow.
In panel room 2, which is B13/14, or 113/114. I'm doing great. And then the second one is an 18-plus one, so only the adults, okay? It's a fan fiction game show, and that will be at 9 p.m. in panel room 3, which is B110/112. And those are going to be really fun. I'm very excited for those.
You read that like someone who definitely knows what their con schedule is.
You know what? I do, in fact, know what my con schedule is. I've just been crafting and sewing all day, and so there's not a lot in my brain left.
It's obvious which one of us does all the panel submissions.
Listen, I do my own panel submissions. and then we are also going to be conducting hall interviews.
I'm excited for that one.
Me too. Asking the question, why do you love cosplay? And if you want to answer that question now, you can go ahead and leave a little comment wherever you are listening to this podcast, because I want to know what you love about cosplay. And
or you can hunt us down at KomoriCon.
Exactly, that too.
So you can be a part of the show.
Yeah, if you are going to be attending KomoriCon. But if you aren't, we still want to hear from you. Your input is enjoyable. Not enjoyable. Your input is valuable.
And appreciated.
And appreciated. Oh my god. And without any further ado, let's get into hotels and roommates.
Alright, do you want to start us off with all your... on sexy notes?
I do have about 2 pages of notes. Actually, 3 pages of notes.
So I have 3 pages too.
I think we should start off with, you know, what is the first thing that you look for in a hotel room, and that is... I looked down at my notes and every thought exited my brain.
So finding an actual hotel to stay in?
Yeah. Finding the right hotel room / hotel.
So what you can do is you can look at whatever convention that you are going to, because a lot of times they actually will have hotel blocks set aside at a special discounted rate for con attendees.
Almost all large cons and medium-sized cons, even some small cons, have that.
Yep, especially if they're inside of an hotel versus inside just of a convention center.
Yep.
Because, like, KomoriCon, for example, the con we're going to, does have it in the convention center, but there's also activities going on in the Hyatt Regency across the street.
Which is happens to be the hotel that we... stay in, because I always stay at a Hyatt. This is not sponsored, but if Hyatt wanted to,
I would. The things I would do for a Hyatt sponsorship,
But that hotel, like when you're staying at a hotel that's like also part of the convention, you're gonna end up running into like a lot of other attendees, and so that makes it kind of nice.
And the guests.
I've been stuck in the hotel, like in the elevator, with Griffin Burns randomly at 8 o'clock in the morning.
And sometimes they'll trap them in revolving doors. But that story is for Cosplay Horror Stories.
Yeah, so if you want to know who we trapped in a revolving door and how, you're just going to have to wait, guys.
Something I also like to do, especially because I only in the past couple of years started going further than driving distance to conventions, is ask your friends what hotels they stay at for these conventions. That's how I learned about the hotel I usually stay in when I go to SoccerCon and Emerald City and all that stuff, and the hotel I'm planning on staying if I ever end up getting to Edmonton Expo.
Exactly.
Friends' knowledge is incomparable. Very valuable.
Truly. A series of questions I like to ask myself leading up to staying at a hotel for a convention / questions I may suggest that you also ask yourself is, how late are the con hours? How much time will you be realistically spending in the room? Are you going to change costumes throughout the day? So that's like, you want to, if you are, you know, if the con goes late and you are spending time in the hotel room to change costumes throughout the day, I would not suggest staying at a hotel that's any more than a 15 to 20 minute walk away.
Yeah, I've done that before. It sucked.
Yeah. I try to stay within the 10 minute walk, because if I am going back and forth changing my costume, or I just need a rest, or if I'm staying out late at the con, I do not want to be on the streets of insert big city name here after midnight in a silly dinky little bunny suit, because that has definitely been me on the streets of Seattle. And I really, really, you know, you don't want to be out walking around ass and titty out in a place you're not necessarily familiar with, or just a big city at night and you're leaving the close area of the convention. It becomes infinitely less safe the further you go away.
It is fun for the plot, though.
I mean, you can, there is a lot of plot to be had. Yeah, definitely.
There's also the idea of, like, how much space do you think you're going to need in your hotel room?
Yep.
Because that's a big one. Because hotel rooms are not all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are very cramped and very tiny.
Yeah.
And some of them are nice and large and luxurious. So the first time I went to SoccerCon, for example, we got the standard two double room and we had four people in it. And we felt like we could barely breathe. That wasn't something we wanted for the next time we went, so we decided to go fancy, especially because SoccerCon happens right around tax season for us.
Yeah.
So we get money from the government, so we can spend a little bit more at SoccerCon. And we upgraded to a suite, which I am never, ever going back.
Yeah.
I love the suites so much.
We did a suite when we were at KatsuCon, because there were six of us. And, actually, it wasn't too bad. Like, it was, I suppose, a little cramped, but I also was rooming with a bunch of people that keep their stuff nice, neat, and tidy and in a corner versus sprawled out. Because I know when we had four people to the room at SoccerCon last year, and we were in, like, just the two queen room. I was with some people that were a little more spread out with their stuff, and it felt way more cramped that way.
Yeah, it's crazy how, where you put your stuff can make a room feel bigger or larger.
Because I've been in those rooms before with four other people, or like four people in total, and, it didn't feel as cramped as when somebody was, like, leaving the ironing board out and leaving, like, blankets on the floor and leaving their stuff everywhere. And
I hate ironing boards that get left out.
It's a personal pet peeve. Yeah.
I'm not going to mention the ironing board that's probably still up in our craft room right now.
It is up in the craft room, but that was because I was working on it. It was my secondary...
I've put that thing away so many times that I've used it once.
I love you. Another really good thing to think about with your hotel versus the location, like how far or close it is to the con, is really thinking about the time of year and the weather you're going to be encountering. Mm-hmm. Because if it's snowing and you have to trapeze through what would be a 10-minute walk without the snow becomes like a 15, 20-minute walk. And do you want to be doing that at all hours of the day and night in a silly little costume?
Possibly in heels.
Yeah, possibly in heels and a silly little costume. You could be having a dress that has like a train and then you've got to carry that. Or then you're going to have to, you know, if it's any more than like a 5-minute walk, you're going to need a coat if you don't want to catch a cold or things like that. Like, how many extra things do you want? Same goes for if it's really, really hot, like dead of summer, and you are walking 15, 20 minutes to get to your hotel or to the convention center, and that you could conceivably get, you know, heat stroke or heat exhaustion, or you're just going to sweat all of your makeup off before you even get to the convention. Keeping in mind what time of year that you're attending a con, and then
what the local weather is like in that time of year.
And like, then factoring that into, like, location.
Yeah, like going to Fan Expo Vancouver, which happens usually in February, and it's rain season.
Rain and cold. Because I've been there when it was -2, and with wind chill.
Yeah.
So with wind chill, it was, like, -12, I think.
And that's Celsius for all the Yankees listening.
For the Yankees, that would be about 5 to 10 degrees Fahrenheit.
It'd be cold as shit.
Very, very cold. Below freezing. And I was dressed as Ganyu from Genshin Impact. So if you know what, if you don't know what she looks like, she is wearing, essentially, a bib front dress, no back,
and little tiny booty shorts.
She does not have booty shorts. She's wearing like a backless one piece with a little tiny skirt in the front and back, and like see-through tights, and that's it. Actually, no, she has little sleeves, but like they start mid upper arm and then go down from there, so your shoulders are bare, your entire back is out. My entire ass was out.
You know, this feels like a really great time to tell people to go listen to our Cosplaying in the Elements episode.
Which is where I also told the story about how I was very stupid in really cold weather. But we did have to travel to the SkyTrain station and then travel all the way out to Burnaby, where our car was, and then drive home, which was like an hour drive from there. And that was several choices that I made.
Also, when you're looking at hotels, and say you're between a couple hotels, and you're like, well, this one's relatively close, but this one has breakfast, go with the breakfast.
We did that at Katsu this year. So last year at Katsu, we stayed at a hotel that was like a 3-minute walk from the Gaylord, because we didn't get rooms at the Gaylord. And it was fine. Like, the room was fine. But then this time, we were about, like, a 7 to 10 minute walk from the Gaylord. But it was the Hyatt, and they had free continental breakfast in the morning. And that meant that we actually ate.
Gotta love a fucking continental breakfast.
It was fantastic. Like, yes, we had to get up earlier so we could actually go and, you know, get the food. But it was great because we were there from, Wednesday night to Monday morning. And we saved so much money getting the breakfast.
Yeah.
And then we'd, like, bring the fruit upstairs and then have that later.
Mm-hmm. Also, another tip as the person who books all of the hotels. Book that shit early.
Oh, yes.
And anticipate fees. Because there is always going to be a fucking fee when you go to check out that you didn't anticipate, that wasn't on the website you booked. And you're going to be like, oh, shit, I spent all of my money in the dealer's hall because I didn't anticipate this extra $20 charge for a tourism fee or whatever the shit. You know? Because hotels can charge whatever fees they want, and it feels a little bit like robbery, but it is just the lay of the land, I guess.
Yeah, because, well, I mean, like, in Vancouver, there's, like, what, a $200 tourism fee? I think that's what it was when I went to book something a couple years ago.
Yep. And that can change after you book. I learned to find out the hard way when I booked a hotel in advance, like 8 months in advance for a convention in Vancouver, and I checked in, and it was an extra $250 than when I booked it.
Because it's Vancouver, and it's the waterfront, and
FIFA, or whatever the fuck it was.
Yeah.
And on that note, if you are if you are going to a hotel for a convention and you are not the person who booked, and the person who booked is like, oh, there was an unexpected fee, don't leave your friend holding the bag. You use that hotel room just as much as they did.
Yeah.
It's happened a few times to me where I've booked and I've checked out and I'm like, oh, like, they charged all these fees that wasn't on the receipt when I booked, so it's more expensive. And everyone just kind of quietly ignores it.
I've always given my portion of it.
Yeah, help your friends pay the difference, because the amount of money that they tell you when you book isn't always accurate. especially with when you're talking currency conversions and stuff, because currency conversions can change from the time you leave your country and get into the new country.
Yeah.
That has happened to me before.
Well, it was like at Kumo last year where we got hit with the unexpected fees from parking, and we weren't expecting it to be so expensive, and it ended up being an extra, what, $100 per person?
No, it was closer to about 50 per person.
I remember having to pay an extra $100.
It's an extra 50 US.
Well, yeah.
I don't know. I just know I had money and I sent it to Sky. And they were like, thank you.
I remember it because it left me $80 to my name for 2 weeks.
Yeah. Because they decided to put us under valet parking when we, in fact, parked ourselves.
Well, we had to fight that charge, actually, and then they eventually took it away because it was going to be an extra, like, $200 or $300 per night for the valet charge. Or no, it was going to be an extra $100 per night for the valet charge. And we were like, no, we're not paying that because we parked the car ourselves.
Yeah. So. We didn't get those fancy valet perks.
Yeah,
don't
no.
charge us for that, please.
Like, please, sir, we don't have the money for this, sir.
When you're talking, when you're looking at destinations for your hotels, too, my personal favorite, I always book a hotel within walking distance to a 7-Eleven or a dollar store or other convenience store for the snacks.
Yep.
Because some hotels have vending machines and stuff like that in them, but not all of them.
And a lot of them are, they jack up the price so much, so I like to be next to a coffee shop, some type of place where I can get cheap or reasonably cheap food, and a convenience store of some kind.
Yeah, especially if you're, like, flying in and you can't bring a bunch of food with you.
Yeah.
Because, like, when we're going to Portland on Thursday, we are going to be stopping by a dollar store and loading up on snacks before we cross the border.
Well, what we did at KatsuCon this year was we pitched together to pay for the Uber. We went to Walmart and we bought, like, instant ramen because there was a microwave on each floor. And we bought, like, snacks and, like, juice boxes and things like that so we could have it in the room and then we all just split the cost. So that way we weren't spending as much because around the Gaylord area, there's, like, some expensive restaurants, but there's no easily accessible, like, cheaper food. There is a Walgreens or a CVS or whatever it is. I don't know. I'm Canadian.
Generic drugstore.
And so that place had some stuff, and it had, like, frozen foods, and it had, like, because I bought ice cream one day because I really wanted it, and even though it was February, I just like ice cream.
The heart wants what the heart wants.
It's true. So, yeah, we were able to, like, get food and stuff like that, so we did that for a con that wasn't necessarily near things, because I think the closest, like, fast food chain was, like, a 20-minute walk away, and in February, rolling off, like, with the winds rolling off the Potomac River, it was cold!
Yeah, I also really like to bring my electric kettle to cons, too, so that I can make tea and noodles and stuff, because I do not trust hotel coffee makers.
People do horrendous things to them, and put things, like, piss and other bodily fluids within them.
And as someone who used to work in housekeeping at a hotel, it wasn't the best hotel, but it was a hotel, that wasn't one of our things to clean on the list. So I don't know how old these coffee makers are. I don't know how many times they've been used, but you will not catch me dead using one. And on top of that, don't put noodles in the fucking coffee maker. Because that is how you break the coffee maker and then get a room charge to your friend who is holding the hotel reservation. And you will make all of your friends be out money.
Yeah.
Is there anything else on, like, the logistics of actually having a hotel that you want? Or should we move on to the fun part of roommates?
Don't overcrowd rooms.
Ah, yes.
That is a big one.
At the very least, be, like, careful about it.
Yeah.
Like,
and if you are overcrowding a room, you better know these people really well. So, like, again, I'm talking about Katsu this year. We did have 6 people to a suite. But I knew these people, and we all knew that we were clean enough. like, keeping our stuff together, that it wasn't going to become overwhelming. And there was only usually, except for at night when we were going to sleep, no more than, like, two or three of us in the room at a time. We all got ready at different times and were out of the hotel at different times, so we made it work. But don't overfill your room unless you're very sure about the people you're with, or you're willing to just take that L.
Yeah, and you can also get in serious trouble with the hotel,
yep.
which also gets the convention in trouble
yep.
sometimes with how you overstuff your rooms. Like, if you do overstuff a room, say it's one of, like, the standard two double rooms, those are not equipped in any way to handle more than four people.
Yeah.
However, suites and stuff like that, usually you can get, like, a rollaway cot and mm-hmm. stuff. Pretty much as long as anyone has a mattress to sleep on, that's kind of my rule of thumb. As long as someone has a mattress to sleep on, then you can have them in the room.
Yeah.
No sleeping on floors or yeah. in closets or in bathtubs. Mm-hmm. None of that shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm only 24 and I'm too old for that shit.
Yeah, yeah. 1 year we did have somebody sleeping on the floor, but that was because she didn't want to share a bed with anybody and was like, that's fine, I'll sleep on the floor. And we were like, okay.
Yeah, but if that's what you want, then that's fine. But,
yeah.
like, don't have someone sleep on the floor out of necessity.
Yeah.
If it's their choice, that's, you know, that's on them. Mm-hmm. My brother once, on a family vacation, decided he wanted to sleep in the hallway in the closet instead of the bed that he had in the cottage we were renting for the vacation.
You know what, fair
and
enough.
And that's their prerogative. That's your prerogative, you want to sleep on the floor.
Oh, one time for my boyfriend's sister's wedding, it was like a destination wedding to Maine, and so we fit in a 4-bedroom, 2-story cottage out in the woods. We fit something crazy like 20 people in that thing.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That would have been a nightmare.
Yeah, well, I didn't pay for it, so I didn't really care.
Okay. Moving on to roommates, because mm-hmm. that's arguably the most important part of being yeah. in a hotel for a con, especially if you're not on your own.
Your con experience can be made or broken by your hotel room experience.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
I have been at great cons that I've loved and then had a really bad hotel experience, you know, for various factors, and it ruined that con for me for, you know, that particular year or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, a big part, too, especially if you're having, like, a snack hoard or something, mm-hmm. and you're bringing a bunch of food into the hotel room, make sure you know what all your roommates' allergies are.
Yeah.
And if they're airborne allergies.
Yeah.
So you're not bringing a big can of peanuts and wafting it in front of the person who has a reaction if they so much yeah. as see a tree nut.
I think very important things to pre-discuss before you enter the room. I like to create, like, an Instagram or a Facebook group chat of everybody that's going to be in the room so you can make the discussions beforehand. Mm-hmm. If that's not feasible or you forgot to do it or didn't do it, day of, when everybody arrives at the con, there are some ground rules that everybody should kind of talk through, and that's basically, what are your medications, allergies, things like that.
Where
and
do you store your emergency
yeah.
equipment? Say you have
an EpiPen
yeah. or other kind of medical thing that you might need yeah. in an emergency.
Like, I'm hypoglycemic, and if I don't have enough sugar, I will just pass out. Now, I don't have any kind of medication for that, but it's good to let... I'm very good at keeping on top of that. But it's very good to let, you know, for me personally, to let my roommates know, hey, I have hypoglycemia. So there may be times where I just am physically unable to, I need to go immediately get something like juice or have something with sugar,
a granola bar,
something. And so I might get really irritable in those moments and it's not you, it's me, that kind of thing. Other physical accommodations, if you have physical disabilities or things like that, should also be discussed. I have a bladder condition, and so I have to use the bathroom more often. And so in the middle of the night, unfortunately for anyone who rooms with me, I will have to use the bathroom like 3 or 4 times in the middle of the night. And it's my responsibility to inform my roommates of that so that way they can kind of like prepare themselves for the fact that somebody's going to be getting up in the middle of the night and turning on, you know, the bathroom light and things like that. There's another thing.
You also just want to make sure you well establish your boundaries.
Yep.
For me, I always have kind of the house rule of the person who books the room and covers, like, a lot of the fee costs and stuff like that, they get top pick of shit because it's their room, really. Yep. They're letting you stay in their room. Yeah, you're paying for a portion of it, but really, it's their room. They're the one at fault if anything goes wrong in the room.
Yeah.
So, for me, say you have a room where it's one king bed and a pullout.
Mm-hmm.
They always get a spot on the king bed.
Yeah.
Always, without fail.
Yeah.
But also, other boundaries that you want to make sure you're all on the same page with is the level of nakedness people are comfortable with in common areas.
Yeah, big one.
That's a big one.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I don't like getting changed in front of other people. So I will always hide off into the bathroom and change there and all that. Bedtimes,
yeah.
too. Yeah. If you're a night owl, but your buddy goes to bed at old man time, then, you know, either have ways around it or just be cognizant of it so you're not barging into the room at 11 p.m. when they've already tried to be asleep for an hour.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Right? So I usually go to sleep at like 2, 3 a.m. and everyone else I am rooming with usually go to sleep earlier than that. So I'll bring your phone, earbuds or whatever, and I'll watch them on my phone while they're snoozing until I'm ready to go to bed.
And I usually wake up a little bit earlier simply because my brain, when I'm at con for some goddamn reason, the sun is up and my brain goes, it's time to be awake, bitches. And I'm like, what? I can sleep in. Let me sleep in. So I will just quietly be on my phone in the mornings if I happen to wake up or read fan fiction or watch something on my phone with headphones in or edit the con vlog from the previous day with headphones in. And I just won't do any of the, you know, talking over unless I either walk out into the hall or, you know, something like that. Really be mindful of the people you're rooming with.
Be very mindful, be very demure.
Yes. It's very cutesy, it's very demure to care about the people that are in the room with you.
Other boundaries I'd like to talk about sometimes or have heard other people have issues with. Alcohol consumption in the room, because not everyone is comfortable with alcohol in the room. You know, maybe you have a friend who struggles with alcohol and are sober, then they just don't talk about it a whole lot.
Same with any type of, like, drugs or things like that. Because, like, substance. In BC, like, weed is completely legal, but you might not want to have that in the room.
Yeah.
Because that stench is intense.
Yeah, I refuse to room with people who will do that in the hotel.
Yeah. I also don't like, rooming necessarily with smokers, simply because that smell is so intense.
Yeah, it just permeates everything.
Yeah.
One I've heard horror stories about is people having sex in the next
bed. I was going to bring that one up too! Because, yeah.
Don't bang while your buddy's sleeping 2 feet away from you.
Also, unless it's previously discussed, don't necessarily bring someone back during, like, when everyone is out and then fuck. Unless you have that bed all to yourself and you aren't sharing with anyone, don't bring back somebody. Also, because this is a horror story that I heard of, first off, the room was overstuffed.
Oh, God.
And a 30-year-old man took back the 16-year-old who was in the room, and they had sex.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
That's not where I thought that story was going.
Right? And so, like, you know, don't do that. Don't do that, because it made my friends who were in the room incredibly uncomfortable.
No doubt.
For so many reasons, and they didn't even fuck on their bed. Because neither of them were obviously sharing the same bed. They just, and then didn't tell anyone till after the con. so no one knew that it had happened. They didn't change the sheets or anything like that. So, like, yeah.
The layers.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, the layers of that one. So just be mindful of the people that you are rooming with.
Other boundaries I like to talk about before the convention is con crunching in the room.
Yeah.
Things like bringing a sewing machine in. I don't necessarily want a sewing machine in the hotel room when I'm trying to chill out and relax. Hand sewing, totally fine. But I have been that guy bringing the sewing machine, and it sucked. I've had people bring sewing machines, and it also sucked. So just make sure everyone's kind of on the same page of that. And on top of that, if you're going to a convention with your friends and wanting to spend time with your friends, they want to spend time with you too. They're not going to be able to spend time with you at con if you're holed up in your room all day at your sewing machine working on this costume. Right? That's when you want to take a step back and be like, is this costume really that important to bring to this con where I'm not going to be able to see my friends because of it? Or it's going to put me in poor health because of I'm stressing over this costume so much, getting it done for the convention that I'm currently at? That's also a really big one.
Yeah.
Your friends want to hang out with you.
No con is worth, like, spending half of the con crunching something. Like, I've brought a hot glue gun to the con to, like, last-minute glue something to me. I've brought my paints and last-minute paint, like, painted a prop.
I've brought a sewing kit, enhanced sewing stuff.
Yeah, like, I've also brought, like, a kit or whatever because I needed to, like, sew snaps onto something. Or, like, if I made a costume for somebody else, I'm finalizing the fit or something. So I might pin things or hot glue things or hand sew some things or whatever. But, like, if you're having to spend more than, I'd say, an hour con crunching in the hotel room, and you can't do it, say, like, the Thursday night before the con or whatever, it's not worth it.
Yeah. There was another one that I thought of, but I will probably come back to it later when I remember it, because I didn't have it written down in my notes, because I thought of it while I was talking, and now it is gone.
Don't you love when that happens?
Oh, it is so great. You also just want to make sure you have the same expectations of the con as your roommates.
Yeah.
So that no one ends up leaving disappointed.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And also, if you're rooming with your friends, say you like going to panels, but your friends don't.
Yeah.
Don't let them dictate if you go see your panels or
yeah,
not.
Yeah, go see your panels if you want. Also, if all of the room wants to go see a panel and you don't want to go see that panel, go do something else for that hour.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't have to spend the entire con with the people that you're, like, hotel rooming with.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you want to. Like, and if they make you feel like you must spend the entire time with them, then that's a little weird and you should probably reevaluate. If you are going to go off by yourself and the rest of the room is all going to be together and you don't have, like, a key to the hotel room, get one. Because you don't want to be, you know, having to go back to the hotel room for something and then having to track them all down. That's not fun. And if nobody wants to give you a card to get back into the room when you're going off by yourself, that's a red flag. And maybe don't room with those people again.
Yeah, that's what I really love about the Hyatt hotels.
Yeah.
Because they have an app that actually turns your phone into a hotel key card.
Oh, neat.
Yeah.
So that's so cool.
So I am horrible for losing my con key cards. I am horrendous with it, which, you know, thank God I'm usually the one on the hotel reservation, because mm-hmm. I can just go to front desk with my ID and be like, please, sir, please let me into my room. I don't want to look like a weird little man anymore. I can just go up with my phone and tap it and it'll let me in.
Yeah, like, on the, like, thing of Hyatt's, I really love staying at the Hyatts for conventions because, like,
this whole episode is just going to be us gushing about the Hyatts.
It's so true. Because, like, I've been at one or two other hotels in Seattle, and one of them was, their lobby was, like, kind of really fancy, and we walked out of the hotel, like, elevator and into the lobby to leave for the con one day, and we got, like, the most horrific stank eye. Like, the people were giving us just bombastic side eye. One person actually went, ugh, when they saw us. And, like, everyone in the lobby was wearing, like, pearl necklaces and designer handbags. And, like, they were dressed up. And I felt a little stupid. I've never felt that way at a Hyatt.
anywhere. Right. I've been all over Canada, all over the US. Like, the Hyatt that I stayed at for Katsu this year wasn't even a part of, like, KatsuCon at all. They put up a, like, huge anime wall scroll. All of the staff were wearing anime shirts for the weekend. Every time you'd come out of the elevator, they'd be like, oh, I love your costume. You look great. And, like, they were fantastic. Every time that I've stayed at the Hyatt in Seattle, the staff there are just fantastic. They also will wear, like, anime shirts. And I know that that hotel occasionally has hosted, like, parts of ECC and other conventions before the other convention hall was built.
It's a big guest hotel.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of the guests are there at that hotel. But they also are really happy to have everyone there. And the staff, you can just tell, like, the staff are enjoying the fact that there's a con happening. And they get to see all the cosplayers and everything. And there's a lot less judgment. I've been at a couple of the Vancouver hotels, and there's a lot more, like, judgment from the random staff people.
That's just Vancouver, though.
Yeah, that's fair, that's fair. But yeah, like, it's, and then we stayed at the Hyatt at Kumo. Uh-huh. That one was another 10 out of 10 experience. So yeah, like, I've been to several Hyatts, and all I can say is good things. Like, the rooms are clean, the price is usually pretty good, the staff are, like, really nice, and, other than the, like, parking fiasco at Kumo, like, that's the only bad thing I have to say about
Hyatt. Yeah, and that just boils down to misunderstanding, really, I think.
Also, Hyatt has the membership program, and so if you like, book hotels regularly under them, you get free nights. Mm-hmm. And so it really brings down the cost of, like, hoteling eventually. And stuff eventually, like, it'll take
it gets a lot of points.
It does, but, like, after about 2 years or whatever of, like, going to, like, maybe three cons a year, you can have a free night or two, and that's I really enjoy that.
Well, that's how we managed to be able to afford to go to Emerald City last year.
Yeah exactly, right? So it's like I swear by the Hyatts.
Yeah, so you heard it here, folks. Dress Up Disasters podcast endorses the Hyatt Regency.
Yeah. And it's always, like, the Regency one, like, the cheaper one. Like, not, like, the crazy expensive one. It's the Hyatt Regency. Like, I... Yeah.
And that itself is, like, a nice hotel.
Yeah, and it's the cheap one.
Yeah. And they have, like, a cute little coffee shop in them.
They always have a little coffee shop, and it's really nice. And then, like, the one in Alexandria by KatsuCon is the one that had the free breakfast. So, yeah.
Yeah, so now you know where to stay for KatsuCon, people.
Yeah, if you can't get the room at the Gaylord, stay at the Hyatt. Mm-hmm. It is, like, a 7 to 10 minute walk away, so, like, it's a little cold. It gets a little nipply. But it's worth it, honestly. Oh,
I remembered the last boundary. Okay, is have a conversation as to the cleanliness levels you expect in your hotel.
I had that note.
Okay, cool. Because... for me, when I'm at con, the last thing I want to be doing is tripping over everyone's costume stuff.
Oh my god, yeah.
And their props, especially because the hotel rooms are often fairly small and you're going to have a lot of people in them, right? Even if you're not overstuffing, 4 people to a single hotel room is tight.
Yeah.
It can be really tight. So the first thing I do when I get to a con is, even before badge pickup, a lot of times I'll start unpacking.
Mm-hmm.
And hanging up all my costumes and stuff, because I usually bring 2 suitcases and I will actually fit them together.
Mm-hmm.
And zip them up and put them in a corner so they're completely out of the way. And then all of my dirty laundry, I'll unzip a corner of the suitcase and just tuck it in.
Yeah.
Like it's a little mail slot.
I like to keep, the way that, like, I like the discussion to have is basically what corner everyone's gonna put their stuff. So, like, it usually ends up being whatever bed is yours, you put it, like, closer to you. A lot of times when I've stayed with people with a lot of props, we have, like, a prop corner. And so, like, everybody's staffs and swords and everything and shields and stuff kind of get, like, put into one corner. And then everybody else's stuff kind of gets, like, kept in a little spot. And then, like, clothes get hung up and things like that. I like to have the discussion of, where's your stuff going? Okay, yeah. Cool.
And I always bring my own hangers, too, so I'm not hogging all the hangers in the closet.
Yeah, because they only ever give, like, what, 10 hangers, maybe, if you're lucky? 5.
Yeah, it's usually somewhere around 5 mm-hmm. hangers. And then with my 4 costumes, I end up stealing them all, and then I feel bad. So I bring my own hangers, because I'll pack my costumes all on the hanger.
Yeah.
And then I'll just pull them out from the hanger and hang.
Well, speaking of the Hyatt and KumoriCon,
the closet spaces, they're so big.
Well, for the room that has the pull-out couch with the king bed, that pull-out couch is actually really comfortable. Like, I have back issues, and I didn't have any problems being on the pull-out couch, and we had so much extra closet space because it was, like, a shorter room. But even on the room with, like, the two queens, like, the double queens, there was still, like, a lot of closet space on there. And I really, yeah. Like one entire wall down the hallway was shelving and places to hang things up. Like, it was real nice.
However, if you are going to stay at the Hyatt Regency in Portland for any Portland conventions, whether it's Rose City Comic Con or KumoriCon, do keep in mind that the bathroom door is just the hallway door.
Yeah, so, like, there's a glass door for the shower, and then there's a glass door for the toilet.
But the sink is open air.
Yeah, the sink is open air. And then there's, like, a rolling wooden door that like, blocks off the hallway.
And the
so if somebody had to, like, shit or take a shower, it was kind of, you're either leaving the room or you're stuck in here.
Taking a shit, you're fine, because it's frosted glass. But if you're taking a shower, you will just be naked in the hallway.
Yeah.
If you get out of the shower.
Yeah.
So, do keep that in mind if you're staying at that hotel this weekend.
Yeah.
That led to some interesting predicaments last year.
That led to a lot of, I'm going to go take a shower, so you're either out of the room until you get the okay, or you are stuck in the other side of the room. It was kind of funny.
And everyone just sitting there like, okay, whatever.
Because, like, yeah, both of the sides were, like, frosted glass, so if you're standing and washing your hand and somebody's taking a shower, you're not going to see anything. But it's the idea that I'm a little... And then if you get out of the shower, it's just...
But even at that, like, if someone needs to, like, take a shit or something while I'm in the shower and we're both protected by frosted glass, fine.
Yeah.
If you need to take off your makeup and I'm in the shower,
yeah.
Fine.
Yeah.
But you better eradicate that area when I step out.
No, literally. Literally.
These titties are not for everyone.
That will, in fact, be $500.
This ass is not rated E.
These hands might be rated E for everyone, but this ass ain't. I need that on a shirt.
New merch design coming at you.
New merch launch.
We have all this talk about roommates and mm-hmm. how to be a good roommate and all this stuff. Where do you find them?
Usually in friends that I'm close with.
Mm-hmm.
I have roomed with people that I did not know previously, but friends knew, and it turned out well, and I've roomed with friends, and it turned out badly. You kind of just have to suss out the situation personally.
Trust your gut.
Trust your gut, honestly. If you think, this might be a bad idea.
It might be a bad idea.
Yeah.
Even if that means saying no to a friend.
Yeah.
Because I have friends that I love to bits, but I know that it would not be great for my blood pressure to room with them for various reasons.
Yeah, like, there's, like, people I have roomed with and gone, never again. Still love them. They're still a good friend. I just wouldn't room with them again because it was an unpleasant experience for me personally. They're not a bad person.
No, it just goes back to those boundaries that we talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And different people expecting different things out of a convention and out of a hotel room.
Mm-hmm.
And that is totally fucking fine.
Yeah.
You know? If you know that your one friend may not have the same appreciation for organization as you.
Yeah.
And that is a problem. That's okay.
Yeah, that's nothing bad against you or the friend. It just means that you're probably not going to be a good fit in a roommate situation for a con weekend in a tiny little room.
Yeah, because rooming together, it makes great memories, but it can really put a relationship to the test.
Yep.
Cons are already stressful, especially when panels are hosted and contests are entered.
You want your hotel to be somewhere where you can relax.
Cry a little if you need to.
Yeah, you want it to be a relaxing situation. You want it to be calm. You want it to be a place where you can just go and chill and decompress. You don't want to go back to your room and then it be more stressful. Or not even want to go back to your room because it's going to be worse than being at the con.
Mm-hmm. Because that never fucking happens.
Yeah.
What if I don't have any friends?
Well, there are groups, usually, like Facebook groups, sometimes people put out. Sometimes people will put out on their Instagram stories being like, hey, I'm looking for a room for this con, like, we got a space. That can be really, like, a roll of the dice situation. But I have heard good things come from it, and I've heard bad things come from it.
Yeah, that's another one where you really want to trust your gut and, like, really have those conversations about those boundaries and stuff like that beforehand, before you get there. Because otherwise, you're going to end up, you could potentially end up rooming with someone who decides to take a Sharpie bath in the hotel bathroom.
Or on a much more scarier, like, you know, possibly triggering note, you could have somebody that will want to take unsolicited advantage of you.
Mm-hmm.
Or other people in the room, or they might bring somebody back with them that may not be of the consenting, you know, set stance, and, like, you know.
Yeah, well, there's enough horror stories about that on the internet that I'm sure you can find if you are so inclined.
I've heard some truly horrific
things. I've also heard some truly despicable things that I really hope are fake, but I know some of them are not.
I've heard straight from friends about how awful some hotel situations can be. I mean, like the story I told in this podcast episode. Like, it's kind of crazy what can end up happening in hotel rooms. So just be safe.
Mm-hmm.
Be safe.
Also, another important thing that I don't think we've touched on yet is being respectful of the hotel and the con space.
That was a note that I had.
Because hotels are often the reason why cons are able to happen.
Yep.
So if we treat the hotels like shit, the hotels aren't going to want to host the cons, and the cons will go away.
A prime example is Matsuri Con.
Yeah, or Holiday Matsuri.
Holiday Matsuri.
Yeah, because they had to move because they didn't like how people were treating their property. Which, fucking fair enough.
With people some of the things were, I heard like, at that hotel. Breaking, like, doors, and didn't somebody, like, flood a bathroom, and, like,
probably.
Like, a lot of, and then also just, like, disrespecting the, like, hotel just outside of their hotel rooms, like, the fountains, and breaking,
and abusing staff.
Yeah, and so.
Right? Like, I know.
Made it an unsafe environment.
Yeah, and I know there's been a lot of people talking about, like, if Dragon Con's gonna be in the hotels that they're in.
Well, same with KatsuCon.
Same with, yeah.
Like, and, like, KatsuCon would not be the convention that it is if it wasn't taking place in the Gaylord. The entire appeal of KatsuCon is the Gaylord.
Mm-hmm.
And, like,
and then people decide to take a shit in the gazebo.
Yeah. There was a person last year that took a shit in the gazebo. This year, somebody threw someone through a door. Somebody else broke a bathtub. Last year were, like, swimming in the fountain in the atrium. Some other people, I think there was, like, some graffiti done on some of the walls. It's KatsuCon, so, like, obviously there was several streakers. And then also attendees, like, Whole Wheat Pete, who create entire problems at the con. So, like, I'm kind of surprised that KatsuCon is still being held at the Gaylord, honestly, from some of the things that I've personally seen in the 2 years that I've gone.
Yeah. And just some of the things I've seen online. Yeah. Like, I haven't gone to any of these big cons, and yet I know about it on the other side of the fucking continent.
In another country.
You know, you have the stuff that happens at Dragon Con. People.
I have friends that go there, and it's wild.
People really treat that building like shit, and I do not understand how...
Any party con, you're gonna have rowdy, drunk people breaking shit and messing up shit. So, like...
Colossal Con, too. I've also heard some serious horror stories with...
Somebody, put dye in the pool.
Mm-hmm. The corn party.
Oh, my God.
At the Colossal Con, where they filled the bathtub with corn.
I might be laughing, but don't do that. Well, like, there was a con where somebody filled the bathtub with those,
Orbeez. Yeah. I think that the people who did that actually scooped all the Orbeez out before they pulled the plug.
Yeah.
So they didn't damage property when they did that.
But still.
But people who don't know that they did that will go, oh, that's really funny, huh, we could do that. And then, just like that one TikToker found out when he backed up his entire neighborhood's plumbing system by flushing a bunch of Orbeez down his toilet.
Yeah.
Chaos ensues.
Yeah. So, treat the hotel room like you would treat...
your own home.
No. No, better. Better, yeah. Better than you would treat your own home.
Yeah.
Like you would treat your elderly grandmother's house.
And even then, better than that.
Yeah.
And tip your fucking housekeepers.
Yeah. Or the people that help you bring your stuff up. Like the bellhop.
Tip everybody.
Yeah.
If you can.
Yeah.
I always bring quite the special effects kit with me and, like, fake dirts and stuff like that. And there was one year where my good friend was dirtying up her dress in the hallway of the hotel room, not thinking or whatever about the tile in the hallway and the grout.
Oh.
So all of that fake dirt got stuck in the grout of the tile, and that type of fake dirt doesn't just simply wipe away like normal dirt because it's synthetic. So the more you wipe it, the more it just kind of smears all over the place. So we definitely left a big hefty tip and a sorry note when we checked out.
Yeah.
And you can also tip on the overnight stays, because, like, at the hotel that I worked at, the housekeepers got to keep, like, the two housekeepers that came into the room on an overnight stay, like, if the person hadn't checked out and it was in between nights, got to keep whatever tip that they got set out, just for the two of them who were cleaning the room. But on checkout, it all went into a pool that got divvied up between all the housekeepers at Christmas time.
Oh, nice.
So what I like to do sometimes is, because, you know, it's the people who are actually cleaning my mess should get the tip sometimes, depending on what I've left for them.
Yeah, yeah.
I will leave a tip on the overnight stay being like, I'm so sorry. Please don't, please don't hate me.
Yeah.
I've been where you are.
I try to make sure that any garbage that has accumulated over the weekend is picked up and in the same location, make sure that there's no garbage around the room, that, you know, all the bedding is on the beds, the towels and everything are all in a central location.
Sometimes I even strip the bed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sometimes. If I have extra time in the morning and I know that they're going
to
be...
I make sure that all furniture is back to where it should have been. I always do a sweep around the room, making sure there is nothing, like, no extra garbage or anything like that.
No stray eyelashes.
Yeah. And if there is, like, a spill or anything like that, I always clean it up right away. Like, I want the least amount of pressure on the people that have to clean this up later.
Mm-hmm. But at the same time, they do clean towels and stuff like that with bleach. That's why hotel towels are always white.
Yeah.
So if you get makeup stains and stuff on the towel, don't worry about it. If you get hair dye stains on the towel, don't worry about it. They bleach that shit.
That's why all the bedding is usually white.
Yeah.
Because it's like, it just goes into a chemical bath.
Oh, quite the chemical bath.
Which is so fair, because you never know what's going to happen in those rooms.
I don't want to know what happens in the room before I get there.
Yeah, yeah.
I want to have no trace of the things that happen.
Yeah.
You know, it's bad enough in those high rises. Sometimes you can see what happens in other hotel rooms.
Because at ECC last year, I look out the window into the high rise across the way, and I'm like, that person looks naked. And they open the curtains, And I'm like, that is an entire naked human being. All right, cool, cool, cool. And they're standing there for a little while, and then somebody else walks into the room, takes off their robe, another naked person appears, and I'm like, this is two naked people. That's
and
crazy.
And then they start getting very friendly.
Very friendly. With an entire floor-to-ceiling window that's open.
And then they fall out of view.
Yeah, yeah. So that was a fun way of ending our hotel experience at ECC, because that was on the Sunday.
Yay, Hyatt!
That's, like, something I will never forget. So, yeah, if you are intending to get frisky in the hotel room, close the blinds. If there is another building right there, because it's very visible. Because that was an entire high-rise that was, like, at least two floors above us, and then across an entire street, and I saw things.
They were very
I saw windows. Everything.
They were very clean windows.
They were some clean windows. You know, I'm glad that they had fun, and that it was very clearly consensual. You know, good for them. Woo-woo. however... I would have preferred if they'd have kept the blinds closed. Not gonna lie.
With that tangent, do you have anything else to say on hotels and roommates? That we may not have touched on before.
Let me go through my little. I'm gonna go through my list of notes, because I have, like, a bunch of notes, and then we didn't go through them in chronological order of the way that...
You went through my chronological
order. Yeah, we went through yours chronologically, but mine weren't in your chronological order, so I have to make sure and go, nope, we did talk... You know, I could have crossed it off as we talked about them.
We could have.
You know what, that's... You know, we live and learn. Live and learn. Okay, medication, physical...
Did we talk about the medication?
Briefly we touched on it. Okay. But I suppose we could delve further, but there's not a lot you can delve into about medication.
Yeah, there isn't really a lot. Just make sure your friends know where all your emergency stuff is.
Yeah.
Same as, if...
And don't take random medication that might be lying about.
Oh, also, speaking in terms of medical stuff, if you have travel insurance...
Yep.
Make sure you send a picture of your travel insurance card or information or whatever to that to all of your roommates.
Yeah.
Because it might not be on you... If you have a medical emergency and you need to get taken to the hospital.
Or if you are completely unconscious and you are then in the charge of one of your roommates.
Yeah, either way, make sure everyone has all that information.
My card's in my wallet, by the way.
Thank you. I don't have any travel insurance. Woo! Mom, if you're listening, no, you're not. Okay, so I think that's all for hotels and roommates.
Yeah.
Just to reiterate again what was said at the beginning, we are going to be at KomoriCon this weekend. We have two panels on Friday. One in the morning at, what, 11 a.m.? 11:30 in panel room 2. That can be found very easily on the map in the guidebook app.
Which is B111 to B112. I remember that.
Nice.
Yeah.
I'm so proud of you. Woo. Where we're going to be going over some of our cosplay horror stories with everyone's favorite topical memes.
Mm-hmm.
All new.
All
well,
fresh
95% new, because I couldn't think of a fourth story to tell, so one of mine are getting recycled from when we did this at Anime Revolution.
And one of the stories will be from a previous KomoriCon, so you know, we're keeping it in theme.
Or no, two then!
Yeah,
okay. So mostly new stories. If you have your own stories and you're going to be there, come up. Tell your story so we can all cry, laugh, empathize.
Cringe.
This time it is going to be an all-ages show, though, so keep that in mind if you're bringing up your stories.
Yeah.
And in the evening at
9
in panel room 3, we're doing It's a Fan Fiction Game Show, which I'm very excited about. This panel's and this game show, whatever the fuck you want to call it, is my baby.
Yep.
Based off of AO3 specifically. So if you read your fanfiction on AO3 and you feel like you know everything, come and struggle in this incredibly difficult Jeopardy game I have created.
I've gone through it and I could only answer like half of the questions. So, because some of them I was like, oh, this is either archaic or I'm just not in that fandom, so I just don't know.
I am a research demon. I've spent months trying to find the perfect questions for this because I didn't want to make it too easy, and I hope I didn't make it too hard, but we'll see. We do have prizes that we're going to be giving out.
Because the game show will be in teams.
Yes, we're going to have two teams of six, so three teams of two.
Six people.
Six people. Three teams of two. So bring a buddy, and you can win a trophy and probably some candy.
Oh, we could bring Canadian candy.
We could bring Canadian candy if we remember to buy candy.
We could bring Smarties. Really, really shock the Americans and confuse them.
We just can't bring Kinder Eggs.
I don't want to get stopped at the border for that.
we'll bring our Canadian Kit Kats that taste different, and our Smarties,
and then our Rockets
and their ketchup chips.
Yep.
Maple syrup.
Yep.
Beaver tails.
Oh, I should bring Coffee Crisps for one of my friends because she really loves Coffee Crisps. Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, we are also going to be taking a winter break for the holidays, so keep an eye out for when we post the dates of when we are going to be going offline, because we still have to kind of figure that out based off of what our schedule is going to be like.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're going to be coming back in the new year with season two!
Woo!
Yay! So if you have any episode ideas that you want to hear us talk about, or if you have any thoughts on the topic of today or any of the other topics we've had, feel free to reach out to us at dressupdisasters@gmail.com, or you can also message us on our Instagram at Circast Productions. I know we have one Instagram user who listens to our podcast every week and gives us all kinds of notes and thoughts as to what they hear on the podcast, which is always a fun little treat for me to read through.
I very much appreciate it. It's very sweet.
It is very sweet. It's also sometimes very funny, mm-hmm. what they think. And we also have merchandise if you would like. All of the links and stuff are on our Instagram. It's all through, I think, Shopify or Teespring, one of the two. Where we have some t-shirts and mugs and all that fun stuff. But without further ado, we will see y'all at KomoriCon!
Woo! I'm so excited!
I'm very excited. I love KomoriCon.
Oh, we should say what our costumes are going to be for that weekend.
Yes, our costume lineups are posted on Instagram.
Yep.
But do you want to go with your lineup first, or shall I say mine?
I can go with mine. I have it right here.
Okay.
If I'm feeling up to it for badge pickup on Thursday, I will be cosplaying a very casual version of Inumaki from Jujutsu Kaisen. On Friday in the morning / midday, I will be Shaylien. And in the evening, I will be doing a casual Sucrose, which is a costume I haven't worn since Thursday of SakuraCon last year. So I'm really excited to bring her back out, mm-hmm. and maybe get an actual photo that isn't a blurry mirror photo. Saturday, I will be Jester from Critical Role. And I'm very excited because I've upgraded the costume a little bit, and I've really kind of blinged it out. I am so excited to wear her again. I love her. And then in the evening, I'll probably be doing Astarion from Baldur's Gate 3 because I need to be the sexy elf man. It'll be more of a casual fit, but still, once again. And then on Sunday, if you've seen on my YouTube channel, I just made the Sabrina Spellman red dress from Series 1. Or season one. I don't remember what it's called. It's the Netflix, The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. And that's what I will be doing on Sunday.
And in terms of my lineup, we have on Thursday, Normie Clothes, because
mm-hmm.
I am tired.
Because we're driving down. It's going to be, Google says it's going to take us 5.5 hours, but I know with bathroom stops and lunch, it's probably going to take us closer to 7.
Yeah. Eight, depending on traffic.
Yeah, I have allotted 8 hours of travel time.
Yeah, so ain't no way I'm dressing up. On Friday, I'm going to be Huachang from Heaven Official's Blessing to match to match Ali Cass's Shaylien. And that's what I'm going to be wearing to at least the Dress Up Disasters Cosplay Horror Stories panel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to be Casual Jean from Genshin Impact in the evening. to match
tension girlies
to match the casual sucrose. On Saturday, I'm going to be Yasha from Critical Role, to match Ali Cass as Jester and my girlfriend Entropy as Beauregard. And on Sunday, which also happens to be mine and Entropy's anniversary, so feel free to come, you know, congratulate us or whatever the fuck people do for people's anniversaries. We are going to be doing Hunter and Willow, where I'm going to be Hunter from the Owl House, and she is going to be Willow.
I'll also, I'm making a couple really silly little bracelets, like the, like, you know, like the candy, the K-N-D-I,
or friendship bracelets.
The friendship bracelets, but I'm gonna be putting a fun little twist, and it's gonna be Alpha, Beta, and Omega ones, so if you wanna grab one, come grab one.
Yeah, I get one named, I get one titled Pack Leader.
Yes, cause we jokingly have, a group chat that's just Circuits Omegas because all of us happen to take the test and we're all Omegas except for our lovely Beta leader here.
This is the house in which I live. Anyways, if you see us and you want to be part of the hall interview asking the question why we love cosplay, feel free to pick us out of the crowd, and we will stop for the 20 seconds it takes to get your input, any little stories you have that are relevant.
We really do want to hear them.
Yes, I'm really excited to do these hall interviews.
I'm probably most excited for these. Like, I love these kind of things. Yeah. I'm excited.
I'm going to hate just going up trying to people being like, hey, do you want to be part of this? So oh, that's really, gonna... I'm really hoping people are going to be like, hey, can I be in this?
Yeah.
But who knows? We'll see how it... We'll see
if a lot of it's going to be us initially going up to just our friends or people I know.
Yeah.
And then I may grow the kahunas to ask strangers. But yeah. I am, once again, an introvert... as, you know...
I'm an extrovert, but I have social anxiety.
I also have social anxiety. I actually spent Thursday and Friday with an anxiety, like, a induced migraine, just because I'm traveling for a con.
Oh, that's so real. Anyways, without further ado, we'll see you guys at KomoriCon this weekend, or we will hear... You can hear our lovely voices again in 2 weeks... exactly in this space, in this time, just 2 weeks. And that was probably the weirdest way I could have said that, but you guys know what I mean. And we will chat your ear off later.
Bye! Bye.